Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he's always told the truth about his knowledge of contacts between the Trump campaign and Russia. We're discussing now Sessions' testimony yesterday before the House Judiciary Committee. Tim Hagels, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa and a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans. He's also author of Iowa Votes, Registration and Voting Demographics, 1982 to 2016. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, we just had Senator Ron Johnson on, and you were able to listen in to that conversation. What struck you with some of the points he talked about?
Well, the thing that really stood out is the fact of how complicated healthcare is. And it's something that even one of my students that happened to intern for Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley over the summer and got a good taste of what was going on, said, boy, it's amazing how complicated it is, how many people have interests of one sort or another. And, of course, Senator Johnson was looking at it from the numbers angle and saying, okay, this is where we pay for it, this is where we don't, and we've got to move these things around. And the problem of that, aside from just the sheer complexity of it, the problem is that it means that a lot of people don't really understand what's happening. And so it does open up the possibility that, you know, one person sees it this way and it describes it that way and it sounds good to some people, and another person sees it a different way and describes it differently, and other people like it that way, and that's why it's difficult to find something that everybody can agree on.
So based on what was going on yesterday, Senate Republicans seeking to repeal the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate as part of this tax overhaul bill. We're talking about the tax code here and now drawing health care into the tax code. Are we mixing two different things here that shouldn't be together?
Well, we're certainly mixing. It sounds like they're mixing two things together. That's not entirely unusual. In fact, it's fairly frequently done where you have something that maybe by itself would have difficulty passing or just not enough interest in getting passed, and so you add it to some other bill that seems to be unrelated. Well, in this case, they're not exactly unrelated in the sense that Senator Johnson was talking about this in terms of by getting rid of the individual mandate, that it allows them to do other things in terms of preserving a certain amount of debt or anticipated debt as far as the scoring is concerned. And so in that sense, it's not unrelated. But on the other hand, it does, for the Republicans, solve an additional problem because the individual mandate is one of the things that many Republicans ran on as something that they wanted to get rid of, and they were unable to do so with regard to the health care repeal, which failed.
So I guess we watch and wait, but it looks like the Senate Finance Committee and House Ways and Means still have a ways to go before they're on the same page with a proposal.
Oh, absolutely. And that's always the case, is you have to get things through each house, but then, of course, you have to get the two chambers together on whatever it is and then get it passed again. And the difficulty so far, at least, has been in the Senate. But apparently they have, whoever did the whip count, in terms of how many votes they think they're going to get, they said they're going to get to 50, which would then allow Vice President Pence to cast the deciding vote. But again, we'll see.
Well, onward to what we initially wanted to talk about. Attorney General Jeff Sessions testified yesterday before the House Judiciary Committee to face questions about how much he knew about Russian contacts during the presidential campaign. This was his first appearance since two former Trump campaign advisors admitted that they told Sessions about their contacts with Russia. Those revelations appeared to contradict testimony Sessions gave to the Senate Judiciary Committee last month, in which he said he had no knowledge of any contacts between the Trump campaign and Russians connected to the Kremlin. And so here's what Sessions said in his opening statement yesterday.
In all of my testimony, I can only do my best to answer your questions as I understand them and to the best of my memory. But I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied. That is a lie.
All right, Tim Hagel, if you're in the House Judiciary Committee, how do you reconcile those apparent contradictions?
Well, I guess the first thing is it depends on what party you're on, because one of the interesting, I guess, and maybe put little scare quotes around that word, things about watching a lot of these hearings is that you always seem to be watching two different hearings. You've got the questions that Republicans ask, and you've got the questions that Democrats ask. And, of course, in the hearing with Sessions yesterday, it was the Democrats that were focusing on the Russian side of things and what Sessions had said previously. The Republicans were focusing more on, well, what kinds of investigations are you undertaking right now? Are you looking into the things that we care about? And the Democrats, again, were focusing more on the thing we just talked about, which is the idea that Sessions might not have been exactly truthful, and Sessions, of course, rejecting that strongly. The thing is, and apparently I saw some attorney talking about this, is that normally if somebody's going to come in and testify along these lines, that they, you know, they hire an attorney and go through all of their communications very thoroughly so that they're very careful that they don't get caught in a situation like Sessions did, which is that he was initially in his earlier testimony relying on his memory and basically said, well, I don't remember this, and then all of a sudden he's confronted with that photo, for example, of him chairing a meeting that George Papadopoulos is in. And now he comes back and says, oh, yeah, okay, now I recall. Well, you know, people forget, and you do forget, perhaps, if it's a meeting with a lot of people, you're having lots of meetings, and nothing, you know, particularly important comes from the meeting that makes it memorable, but it makes Sessions look somewhat bad, and that's certainly the thing that the Democrats were focusing on to try to suggest that Sessions was untruthful. If you don't want to use the word lying specifically, but untruthful in his earlier testimony, where now he does recall, okay, yeah, I met that person. And I suppose from Sessions' point of view, he would say, well, look, there's a difference between saying hi to somebody in passing at, you know, some meeting out in the lobby, as opposed to having a sit-down where you're actually discussing something. And of course, from the Democrats' point of view, some sort of collusion with Russian officials as far as the campaign is concerned. So it does make Sessions look somewhat bad, but, you know, that's because he didn't prepare perhaps sufficiently in his earlier testimony.
Wouldn't you think that he would know to prepare well when going into a hearing like this? This is a high-stakes hearing.
You know, it is. And again, for this hearing, he probably was much better prepared because that's where he got kind of caught flat-footed on the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. And yes, as a senator, he sat in lots of these things that were undoubtedly highly partisan. And again, like I was saying, where you have the Democrats and Republicans basically doing two different things, either trying to tear down a witness or try to build him or her up, and that shouldn't be unusual. But Sessions may have thought, well, yeah, seeing as I know how this works, I can go ahead and rely on my memory. Well, apparently his memory wasn't that good, especially, again, where he was saying that it's a fairly chaotic campaign. You've got lots of meetings. He's also being a full-time senator at the same time, so not everything is going to stick with him. And like I say, it kind of caught him flat-footed, and now he's paying the price to it to some extent, at least as far as the Democrats are concerned.
Let's bring in a call now, Lou in Oconomowoc. Hi, Lou. Go ahead. Are you there, Lou? Oh, no, we have no Lou. So, Tim Hagel, after the committee hearing yesterday, did you get a sense that either party, person in the party, walked away with some meaningful information that can be carried forward? And what I'm saying here is was this hearing worth it? Did we get something new and different?
I think the short answer to that is no. By and large, that again, the Democrats were already complaining about Sessions not being accurate, or even if you want to say more extreme way, more the being truthful in his earlier conversations. And they basically, that was already their position in terms of what they thought was going on. Famous case answer for the Republicans, that they really didn't get much either. Sessions did indicate that there were, 27, I think, investigations ongoing in terms of looking into leaks of classified information. So that's certainly something that Republicans would be happy about, because it was something they complained about for some time. But as far as any other investigations, they weren't saying. And Attorney General Sessions indicated that they, at this point, they still weren't willing to investigate or appoint a special counsel for the Uranium One deal and things of that nature, which is something where some Republicans particularly wanted to see. So, again, not much. Again, sometimes these hearings end up just being sort of a show put on for partisan purposes. But, you know, that's the way the process works, unfortunately.
And we're going to get to Uranium One here in just a moment. We're with Tim Hagel, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa, and he's the author of Iowa Votes, Registration and Voting Demographics, 1982 to 2016. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. What did you make from Attorney General Jeff Sessions' testimony yesterday on Russia? Should there be a special counsel Council to investigate the Clinton Foundation. How concerned are you about nuclear war, especially in the Trump administration? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tim, on Monday, the day before Sessions testified, Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy on the Senate floor pointed out the lack of consistency in Sessions' testimonies, which he said was a problem. Let's take a listen.
No matter how much he's tried, he has not gotten his story straight. On numerous occasions, new disclosures of his communications involving Russia have raised serious questions about his testimony.
So Sessions insists, of course, that he's not lying. He answered the questions the best he could. We still have these contradictions. Is Congress going to get anything helpful here as they move through these hearings?
Well, excuse me. I think in terms of what the Democrats in particular might think is helpful is, from their perspective, it may be helpful for them politically to downplay the veracity of Attorney General Sessions, so that if he does try to open up certain investigations or looks to have another special counsel appointed for other reasons, that they can portray it as mere partisanship or trying to, you know, protect yourself or something of that nature, which, again, politically will tend to undercut the validity of that effort.
So they can use their minority role here to really pepper with questions, to research, to try to get to bottom of things, which may or may not happen.
Well, that's true, too. And that's, again, sometimes what happens with the minority party, regardless of whether it's Democrats or Republicans, is that they will try to dig a little bit better. And one of the things, if anybody looked at the hearing yesterday, as you saw when the Democrats were asking their questions, they often wanted to phrase, have the answer be yes or no only. And you had especially the Democrats that had been prosecutors, you could tell they had, saw they had their old prosecutor's hats on, where they, you know, have kind of a long question with maybe a lot of assumptions in it and say, well, give me a yes or no answer. And Sessions wouldn't do it. He'd been a senator, so he understands that. He'd been a prosecutor, so he understands that aspect, too. He wanted to give a fuller answer. Well, that's because the Democrats are the minority, and they're trying to get some information. If you see the parties were flipped, you'd see the Republicans doing the same thing, and they have done so in the past. So there's nothing new there. Whether they get any new information, you know, that's a different question. And it's not clear that they were really looking to do that yesterday. It was more a matter of trying to make Sessions look bad and portray him as having been untruthful in his earlier testimony, as far as indicating that he hadn't had a lot of contact with Russians. And then we find out information that he had, and now he's got to come back and, having refreshed his memory, come back and explain that that difference.
Let's bring in Todd now in Green Bay. Hi, Todd.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you have the Clinton and Lynch meeting on the tarmac of it in Arizona. You have also the Attorney General getting involved and interfering with Attorney General Eric Holder interfering with different investigations. You have the Clintons destroying computers and Blackberries literally with hammers and refusing to release emails on so many different things. And then you have the Uranium One deal, of course, and Bill Clinton's speaking fees being
okay, Todd.
So
I'm trying to figure out exactly where Todd is going with this, but you know, this whole idea of collusion and the need for a special prosecutor on the Clinton side, on the Clinton Foundation. Tim, let's go there. What do we know?
Well, we know a lot, and Todd was basically indicating a lot of the things that Republicans in particular will emphasize in terms of things that these little pieces that you see. And yesterday, apparently during the hearing, I missed this exact part, but apparently Representative Gohmert from Texas held up this chart that he had of all these little pieces, and it looked very kind of convoluted, I'll go ahead and say that, where you have all these lines for all these little pieces together, but there is a lot there. And if the pieces do fit together, then it would seem to be a problem. And that's one reason why a number of Republicans were pushing Attorney General Sessions to try to say, well, shouldn't you be investigating this? Shouldn't you be looking at this as a special counsel? And the reason they want an additional special counsel is because they don't feel that Mueller who's the current one investigating the campaign Russia collusion aspect, including Fusion GPS and all of that, that they feel that this is something different. And it was occurring at a time when Mueller was actually still part of the administration as head of the FBI, and so that he has a conflict of interest. So they want an additional special counsel. Now, there are counterarguments to that, of course, but, again, all these little pieces are something that Republicans for a long time have wanted to be investigated.
So explain for us, then, this alleged wrongdoing by the Clinton Foundation, the sale of a uranium company to Russia, and the FBI's investigation into Clinton's use of a private email server. Draw the connections for us.
Well, as far as the Uranium One stuff goes, again, basically what happened there is that a Russian company made a deal that was approved by the Obama administration to basically sell 20% of the United States uranium reserves to this Russian company. Now, the idea is that the Russian company has connections with Putin. I'm not clear what those connections are, but figure there's probably something there given Russian, the way the Russians work in this regard and the way Putin works. And as part of that, of course, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State at the time, and she was part of the group of officials that had to sign off on this. Now, the argument for them is that she didn't technically and specifically sign off on it, that it was other people that did it, again, something that would have to be looked into. And then at the same time, the Clinton Foundation was giving a huge amounts of money to, or the Russians were giving huge amounts of money to the Clinton Foundation for Bill Clinton to give a speech and so forth. And so was that part of a quid pro quo, which are often very difficult to prove. But the idea is that, well, he gave a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation, and then all of a sudden Hillary Clinton's on this group of government officials that sign off on this Russian deal, and so there's that connection there. And so that's the kind of thing, and it's very difficult to prove those sorts of things, but it's also something that, understandably, political opponents of either the Obama administration or the Clintons in particular would want to look into, in particular because of past concerns that Republicans have had over sort of the financial dealings of the Clintons. And you can go all the way back to the Whitewater stuff in that regard from the 90s.
Right. And so as we go into break here, very quickly, do you see this going anywhere? Attorney General Jeff Sessions has directed senior federal prosecutors to evaluate some of these issues and take appropriate action.
Well, yeah. At this point, he was asked during a session, the hearing yesterday. I guess I shouldn't call it a session yesterday. The hearing yesterday that is there enough there for a special counsel? And he said, well, not yet. They're willing to look at it, but just not yet in terms of especially a special counsel. And it could be something that could be handled by the DOJ. Although, again, that opens it up to some political concerns on the part of Democrats.
We're talking with Tim Hagel, who is unpacking latest developments on Capitol Hill, as Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Should there be a special counsel to investigate the Clinton Foundation? How concerned are you about nuclear war during the Trump administration? 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update. The Justice Department sent a letter Monday to the House Judiciary Committee. It said prosecutors would be examining allegations that donations to the Clinton Foundation were tied to a decision by the Obama administration in 2010 to allow a Russian nuclear agency to buy Uranium One. That's a company that owned access to uranium in the U.S. Tim Hagel is helping us connect the dots. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He's also a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans. Your thoughts on what has been transpiring this week on Capitol Hill as well, 800-642-1234. Let's go right away to Bob in Reidsville. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The most startling thing that came out of the testimony yesterday to me was that the Justice Department has virtually done nothing, either unilaterally or proposing legislation to prevent a repeat of the 2016 campaign. And that blows me away.
When you say a repeat of the 2016 campaign specifically, what are you talking about?
The Russian interference.
Okay.
We've got 17 intelligence agencies who have concluded that there definitely was interference, and yet we're a year out, and nothing's been done to prevent it happening again.
Tim Hagel.
Yeah, certainly that's true to the extent that, well, I wouldn't say entirely that nothing has been done. So the first step, of course, is recognizing that things have been done. We're sort of there, as the caller indicated, that the intelligence agencies are suggesting that. We still have to determine the what and the how, and then, of course, find, and it's really Congress's job to do this, find out some solution to that particular problem. So if it's a matter of saying, well, okay, we're not going to allow them to buy Facebook ads or something of that nature, well, they'll have to look at that. But to a certain extent, things are being done in the sense that we've got Mueller's investigation. And so to right now, at least in terms of anything more serious, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with regard to that investigation to sort of give us more information, and hopefully it will be publicly available as opposed to classified in some way, but give us more information as to what exactly went on in terms of things that are more nefarious, shall I say, in terms of any collusion. That's what they're looking at there, but also in terms of what was going on with Fusion GPS and the dossier that was put together on Trump that seems to be fake or maybe put together by Russian officials through Fusion GPS and so forth. So there's a lot of little things going on here, and that's hopefully what the Mueller investigation will do, is tie some of those things together and give us some indication as to what we can do to prevent. Now, are we going to completely prevent Russian interference? Probably not. There are always going to be ways, especially in a free society like we have, where outside actors can do certain things. The question is how much influence do they really have, and can we minimize that as much as possible?
Bob, thanks for calling in with that. And before we move on in the discussion, let's go to Nate in Milwaukee. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thank you. I was going to point out that Snopes, which is a website that basically tries to investigate myths and either indicate if they're true or false, it doesn't have the power of the FBI, but it tried doing research into the allegation that Clinton did uranium sales and basically said there's nothing to this story. Now, I'm not a big fan of the Clintons, especially after what happened with the DNC. But the flip side is I'm also not a fan of what I think is an ongoing propaganda machine that basically tries to cobble together a few facts in a bed of lies to smear people for political purposes. And I'll point out that Trump threw out the uranium thing basically a few days before news hit that there was going to be indictments relating to the Russia thing. So I see perhaps the politics of distraction where somebody's trying to say, look at something else, well, that may be utterly fake.
Yeah, Nate, thank you so much. Tim, can you weigh in on this separating out the politics of distraction, as Nate calls it?
Apparently we can't. And, it, you know, again, that kind of works for both parties. But we see in particular, and this has gone on for even the beginning of Trump's campaign, that he often has this talent, I guess, if you want to call it that, of being able to sort of present something that seems to be a distraction for people, particularly for people that are opposed to him, where something was looking bad for Trump or when he was candidate or now that he's president, and all of a sudden some new thing pops up, and that seems to happen on a regular basis. And some people are convinced that it's this talent that Trump has to sort of do this and manipulate the media. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it, at least in terms of whether bad things are going to come out, we see that often happen with any administration, where we get to talk about the Friday afternoon news dump at a time when you release bad information late on a Friday, when most of the news organizations have wrapped up for the week and you don't expect to get a lot of attention over the weekend. And by Monday, maybe things have died down or faded away, or there's something new to focus on. And so that's not exactly unusual for any administration to engage in that kind of distraction or way to downplay negative information.
Tim, moving on, congressional lawmakers raised concerns about President Trump's ability to use nuclear weapons during a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday. There's growing bipartisan anxiety over launch process procedures for nuclear weapons and indications that the administration has considered the option of a first strike on North Korea. What do we know about President Trump's access to making this call, to pushing the button, as they say?
Yeah. Well, again, that's something that people have expressed some concerns about, mainly because of the way that Trump has chosen to engage, in particular, North Korea's leader, in terms of the provocations that North Korea has engaged in, and Trump has decided through Twitter mostly to say directly things, say, you know, better not, we'll fight you with fire and fury, and, you know, we're keeping all of our options on the table kind of a thing. And that's been true for decades in terms of keeping options on the table. You just haven't had presidents be that forthright about that being an option. Now, will it actually happen? I doubt it. But given that some people are very concerned about Trump and especially his opponents, but even some people in the Republican Party saying, well, look, he seems to be, you know, very impetuous and kind of flies off the handle. And we see this, they see, at least they see evidence of it in his Twitter, where he can be provoked very easily. This was a line that Democrats talked about. Hillary Clinton even mentioned it in her acceptance speech at the convention, Democratic convention. So, you know, that raises some concerns, saying, well, look, we've got a president who maybe is a little impetuous and he has this tendency, he's talking about nuclear weapons, should we take a look at this? Well, okay, take a look at it. But as Senator Johnson was saying at the start of this hour, that, you know, they had a hearing on this, and he has access to classified information. I certainly don't. But the idea is that the system is in place in such a way that it would be really difficult for a president to just unilaterally, which is to say all by himself, say, okay, let's go ahead and launch some missiles. Plus, and aside from that, aside from all those concerns, the idea would be is potentially that you would have Congress have to authorize a strike of nuclear weapons. And that may not be particularly good because it would directly limit the president's power, which, of course, would be the point. But it would also be a signal to anybody who may want to launch a nuclear attack against us, whether it's North Korea or other, that they would be able to do so perhaps in a way before we could respond or before we could prevent it.
We'd be slowed down by red tape, if you will. Slowed down by the bureaucracy. Senator Bob Corker, who chairs the Foreign Relations Committee, said now is not the time for new legislation to alter the president's nuclear authority, but that the day could come over the course of the next several months. Why do you suppose a legislative solution may not happen until later? And what about, anyway, a legislative solution to this?
Well, I think, and without being able to read Senator Corker's mind, and of course he's no fan of President Trump, and he's also decided that he's not going to run for re-election. Mm-hmm. But I think that the concern there has more to do with they've got a lot on their plate already, and this would be something that would be very complicated and more divisive within the Republican Party, and you're going to need to get Republicans on board at this point to be able to do something like that. And so right now they're focused more on, in particular, tax reform, since the repeal and replace of health care, of Obamacare failed. So they're looking to say, okay, we the Republicans, he's saying, we need a win in order to be stronger going into the midterm elections. And so it could be, and I don't know if he was thinking of this specifically, but if the Republicans lose control of one or both houses in the 2018 midterm elections, that that's where you might actually see some legislative action along the lines of curtailing the president's ability to initiate nuclear war, or I shouldn't say war, but, you know, basically
nuclear action weapons,
put it that way. Yeah.
Considering this hasn't been discussed in Congress in 41 years, what does that tell you about how perhaps nervous or unsettled or unclear, whatever you want to call it, that Congress may be giving this message about the situation with North Korea?
Well, that's kind of a hard one, because even though Congress may not have done anything in that sense, like directly addressing it in some way, that doesn't mean that the process has been stagnant. Now, on the tax front, one of the things that Wisconsin's own Speaker Ryan has often talked about and tweeted out on Twitter is talking about, well, you know, it's been since 1986 that we've had an overhaul of the tax system. Well, that's true, but it's not like the tax system hasn't been tinkered with over that entire period. And of course, that's part of the problem as far as in particular Republicans feel about it, has sort of gotten to the point where, you know, we need to have an overhaul to sort of fix all the kinks and quirks and things that are in it right now. Well, the same is probably true or potentially true for the system of how nuclear weapons might be used in some particular situation. Undoubtedly, they've been looking at it, and I think this is what Senator Johnson was talking about earlier in the hour, is that they have looked at it over the years. Now, they being the administrative people that are in charge of that military and so forth, even if Congress itself hasn't directly acted to change the overall authorizations.
So in the last few seconds we have with you, do you see, coming out of this hearing yesterday, do you see any significant changes of the president's nuclear authority?
No, it was just basically, I think, an initial discussion. It's kind of a, well, where are we right now kind of a thing.
Oh, a warm-up, if you will.
Yeah, a warm-up, basically. So if things happen and develop in a certain way, and particularly if the Democrats get control of either the House or the Senate after the elections, we might see more action, particularly based on anything that the president does. But right now it's more of a, well, let's have this discussion, let's see where we're at, and then give some thought to where we might go from here.
Well, Tim, thank you for this discussion. Thanks for making time for us.
You're very welcome.
Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He's a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans. He's also the author of Iowa Votes, Registration and Voting Demographics, 1982 to 2016. Earlier, we did speak with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about the tax code overhaul. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison, with technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.